Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
On Monday, the 14th of December, 2020, football said goodbye to a great of the game, Liverpool's treble-winning manager, Gerard Houllier.
Harry McAllister into the middle! Liverpool win it with a golden goal!
He made me see things through a man's eyes, not a young boy with a few quid and an ego.
It wasn't about just on the training pitch. Like, what, if I trained well or played well, he wanted to know what was going on when I left the training ground. Like, what did you do? You're new to the area. How have you settled in? What have you been up to? Do you need anything? And as I said, he was just a great, great man.
Andrew Johnson has to score.
We won trophies because of our discipline, not our talent.
This is a guy that, even with the health problems that he had, continued to work incredibly hard in the sport that he loved.
Stretching his legs and getting away from Dixon and getting his shot away. That's it. That is just absolutely fantastic. He has won the cup for Liverpool all by himself.
He won it on his own, practically. I mean, the team was with him, but we were 1-0 down and he scored two goals. At the end of the game.
Here is Michael Owen with a chance to make it three, which he does immediately. Another trophy is going to Anfield, the Liverpool Football Club, to the League Cup, to the FA Cup, to the UEFA Cup, to the Charity Shield, is now added the European Super Cup.
In terms of knowing tactics, captivating a room, inspiring, he was brilliant. He was a great guy.
Innovative, a tactician, one of the sport's greatest minds. During his six-year spell at Anfield, Gerard Houllier won four major trophies, but the Frenchman's impact on the game stretches much further than just silverware. Over the course of the next hour, the TalkSport family mourns the death of a gentleman. You'll hear from Liverpool legends Phil Thompson, Dietmar Hamann and Danny Murphy, just to name a few. Plus, we'll relive his finest moments, both on and off the field. This is TalkSport's tribute to Gerard Houllier.
Incredibly sad news in the world of football this morning. The former Liverpool, Aston Villa and France manager Gerard Houllier has died at the age of 73. He took charge at Liverpool between 1998 and 2004. That included winning that incredible treble of the FA Cup, the League Cup and the UEFA Cup in 2001. His final job was with Aston Villa in the 2010-11 season. He also coached his country, France, for a year in the early 90s. Gerard Houllier, the former Liverpool, Aston Villa and France manager, has died today at the age of 73.
A day later, Gerard's influence on the game was clear to see. Father figure, legacy, the man who gave his life to Liverpool. Just a handful of quotes across the back pages, dedicated to one of the sport's nice guys. An announcement out of the blue for many, including French football expert Eric Bieldeman.
This is dreadful news, and what I can tell you is that we were not expecting it at all. We were not aware that he was under heavy surgery, and that I just got the news 10 minutes ago. I was on the line and I just saw it on the social network.
Houllier passed away just days after a heart operation in Paris, a career blighted by health issues. Just before the turn of the century, he needed emergency heart surgery after falling ill on the bench during a Premier League game. He also had to step down from his role at Aston Villa in 2011, shortly after falling ill with heart problems. But European football expert Kev Hatchard was one of the first to hail the Frenchman's devotion to the sport.
I mean, this is a guy that even with the health problems that he had, continued to work incredibly hard in the sport that he loved, and Danny will know that better than most.
Yeah.
And he had success in a number of roles, but he was a teacher first and foremost. He was an educator. I mean, people forget that in the late 60s, he had a spell on Merseyside working as a teaching assistant.
Six years he was in charge of Liverpool, which included the treble of League Cup, FA Cup and UEFA Cup in 2001, and of course a return to the Champions League. A second League Cup triumph would follow in 2003, and he left soon after, following 307 matches, returning the club to the days of old. Former striker Robbie Fowler was part of Houllier's squad during that spell.
I think his attention to detail within football was just incredible. I mean, you forget the football side of it, and as much as he achieved everything that he probably needed to, he's a nice man, and that is the best way to describe him as well, you know, and just incredibly sad for his family.
Speaking to Sky Sports News, the Liverpool legend Jamie Carragher thanked Houllier for all he'd done for his career, as well as the likes of Steven Gerrard and Michael Owen.
Anyone at such a young age, you're like a sponge for information at that, you know, you really look up to your manager, and just in that spell that he had for those 5 or 6 years at Liverpool, I mean, I just absolutely adore that man.
Another man to benefit greatly from Gerard Houllier's influence on the game is a TalkSport favourite.
It's Murphy!
Danny Murphy won 6 trophies on Merseyside under Houllier and was co-hosting TalkSport's Why to Jordan show when he heard the news.
He'd want me to talk. That's the type of man he was. You know, he always wanted you to be the best you, and try and overcome fears. He changed my career, Houllier. He really did. He made me see football differently, the way I looked after myself, the way I conducted myself. Intelligent man. Warm, charismatic. And for someone who couldn't kick a ball straight, he knew his football. Sometimes he'd join in training and, you know, the lads would laugh when he'd try and ping a ball because he couldn't. But in terms of knowing tactics, captivating a room, inspiring, he was brilliant. He was a great guy. And even, you know, we spoke to him a few times, haven't we, in the last few months. And the warmth he always gave me, I still feel when I spoke to him. So it's a sad loss, I feel, for his family. He's got a lovely family. And I've got so much to thank him for. He'll be grateful, Gerard, for the years he's had since he died the first time. Because he died on the operating table. We played Leeds, as you know, at home. Half time, he went into the toilet. State didn't come back out. He stayed in there. Everyone was a bit... Tomo came out and sent us back out. Come back at the end of the game, he'd been rushed to hospital. And we thought, oh, he's probably, you know, had some sort of minor heart attack or whatever. But it wasn't minor, it was massive. And I think he had an 11, 12-hour operation in the end, and he died on the operating table, and they brought him back. And he'll be the type of man who's grateful for the years he had since that, and what he went on to do was remarkable, considering what he went through. But I remember when he was barely able to speak properly. Not really with it, and he still called me up after we beat Man U and I scored to say well done and to congratulate me, and he still called me up a few weeks after that when I had a bad game and got a bit of stick to say keep going, you know, like when he was struggling, you know, you could hear in his voice he couldn't even muster more than a few sentences. And that's the type of guy he was, you know. He wanted to know everything about his players. I mean, Stevie spoke about the time when he went and sat down with Stevie's parents and had a meal with them and talked about Stevie and his development and put the time in, put the effort in. And he created the foundation to where Liverpool are now. Changed the mentality, the training ground, the philosophy, the discipline, everything about it was set. I did an interview with Stevie's house not so long back for my column, and Stevie said the same thing. Mm. He put in place what was needed for Liverpool to be where they are now.
Yeah.
So it'll be a sad loss, and he's a wonderful guy, and I have to say, I can't even put into words how big an impact he had on my career and the person I am.
Well, I was going to say that. You know, and you and I have spoken about this before.
Humble man. Humble man.
Gerard would only really come on because of you.
Yeah.
And he wanted to come on because of Danny. He made you a better person. You've said this to me before. A football aside, Danny, what did he do for you as a man? Because you needed him around you, didn't you?
He made you very aware of your responsibility, not just to the club, but to your family. I had a child at the time, a son. I wasn't looking after myself well. He made me see things through a man's eyes, not a young boy with a few quid and an ego. He made me understand the enormity of what I was doing, the club I was playing for, the responsibility I had to my parents, to my family, to the support. You know, all these things. The way I spoke to people, the demeanour I had. Julio, he's the type of manager, Simon, you've worked with a lot of managers. Some mornings you'd walk in and he'd bring you in the office and he'd say, what's wrong? You're not smiling, you haven't shaved, you don't say good morning. What's wrong? Can I help? That's the level of detail. And he made you think about the way you carried yourself, the way you conducted yourself, and even the way he made you behave on the pitch compared to what happened before he came to the club. Players representing each other, the club, the badge. Ill-discipline wasn't in our it wasn't in our repertoire as players. We won trophies because of our discipline, not our talent. We had some great players, but we beat teams better than us because of the discipline he created and the belief he created. He was a wonderful man. He'd just be missed, and he'd be missed by me. I feel immense pride at playing for Liverpool, the club I love. Irrelevant as a manager, but I wouldn't have got the opportunity to do what I did at that club if it wasn't for him. Because I turned up at Liverpool and Roy Evans bought me, he was a great guy, you know, good Liverpool man, but he didn't have the time, I don't think, or the ability to mould me into what I became. Julio did. So the memories I have of Liverpool and the joy I had there playing for the club I love and lifting trophies at the club I love was because of him.
Hmm.
So it kind of goes hand in hand, the pride, for both of them. You know, I'd have gone through a brick wall for Julio. Well, I did at times. You know, I surpassed my own expectation of myself, I think, and what other people maybe thought I could do. Because, you know, I wasn't the best athlete in the world. He got the best out of me. And sometimes you need that in life. You need someone who can show you the way, help you a little bit along the way. You can't do it all yourself. And he helped a lot of players. He really did.
Liverpool legend Danny Murphy's emotional tribute to Gerard Houllier there. And Danny, you know this already, but Gerard was a fan of yours too. Here he is speaking to Talk Sport earlier this year.
Good listener. But he was clever. I mean, he's still clever, but he was very clever. I think, you know, knows Danny would say that, you know, Danny had this great capacity. He was a good teammate and he was very clever. And I think what he did, you know, his career... playing practically over 600 or 700 games at top level, you know. I think between Crewe and Liverpool, back to Crewe and then Liverpool, I think it was Charlton or Fulham. So I followed his career and I realized that he became an international player as well. So that means he really got the best of himself. And that's what I call a successful career. Because you say he was a good listener, but listening doesn't mean anything if you don't put it into action.
Mm.
And in fact, Danny, I think he really implemented what he needed to do to become a top player.
The thing is, thank you for that.
He brings you luck also. Number 13. And every time he was in the one cup final or everything like that, you have a good chance to win.
This is a TalkSport tribute to Gerard Houllier. Tributes continue to flood in after his passing on Monday the 14th of December at the age of just 73. The Frenchman won a cup treble during his time as Liverpool manager, while he also had a spell as boss of Aston Villa. Many who played under and knew Houllier well had taken to social media in remembrance.
Gerard standing over, it's Gerard who hives it into the top corner and past Peter Mignone and fires Liverpool into the lead. And no one could stop Steven Gerrard at the vital moment.
Devastated to hear the news my former manager Gerard Houllier has passed away. I will never forget what this man did for me and my career. Rest in peace, boss. You'll never walk alone.
It's in! And he
It's a fantastic goal for Liverpool. Magnificent from Jamie Redknapp.
Incredibly sad news to hear of the passing of Gerard Houllier, a man that did an amazing job for Liverpool Football Club and for football as a whole. My thoughts and prayers go out to his family. I'll never forget the day he gave me the Liverpool captaincy, the greatest honour of my career.
Magnificent shot from Dunn, and there is Michael Owen with the follow-up. Richard Dunn wasn't able to get the ball clear, and there was Michael Owen, the Predator, with the finish.
Absolutely heartbroken to hear that my old boss Gerard Houllier has sadly passed away. A great manager and a genuinely caring man. Rest in peace, boss.
Fae Carruthers there with a selection of heartfelt tributes from Twitter. A number of current Premier League managers were also quick to pay their respects, including Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola.
The news on behalf, of course, in our team, I think all Manchester City, our deep condolences to his family. He was an incredible, lovely person. When I met him in UEFA, we were in UEFA in our meetings, or when we play against Lyon, or when I met him when I was football player in Barcelona, we played semi-finals UEFA Europa League in that time, UEFA Europa League in this time against Liverpool, and he was his manager. So yeah, sad news for all world football.
Chelsea manager Frank Lampard echoed those thoughts.
He was always an absolute gentleman in the times that I met him, and just reading some quotes then from people who knew him much better than me, that seems to be the resounding thing that comes out of this. A great football person, very successful in his managerial career, great person, and all the respect to his family. Thoughts with his family from myself and everyone at Chelsea, of course.
Southampton manager Ralf Hasenhüttl worked under Houllier at RB Leipzig, where the former Liverpool boss worked as the head of global football.
Fantastic football knowledge man. I think he did a fantastic job in Leipzig, brought us some really very good players. Learned him with Ralf Rangnick at the time when I was working there, and really sad news that he's gone.
Into the middle, Liverpool win it. One of the great European finals.
6 seasons at Liverpool, 4 major trophies, a club legend who set the club back on the right track following a huge rebuild at Anfield. But many aren't aware that back in 1969, Houllier spent a year in Liverpool while working on his dissertation, researching the lives of children growing up in a deprived area. And it was during this year that Houllier developed his passion for English football. Stood on the Kop on an autumn evening and watched Bill Shankly's team thrash Dundalk 10-0 in the Fairs Cup. On his arrival as manager in 1998, he moved to improve discipline and unity right away, taking over the so-called Spice Boys, a Liverpool side that had a reputation for living the high life and not performing. The emergence of Steven Gerrard and Michael Owen highlights, of course.
If I look, I said Michael Owen became Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carragher had a good career. I would say MUSK, you know, he did what he did, but he really achieved something, and he picked up some medals. So I think that you practically would say that every player has improved. I mean, what you want as a manager, from a manager, is to make his players realize that they can be better tomorrow than today, and so forth. And in fact, to do that, you need to have intelligent players ready to listen and to take on board and to apply what you ask them. And then he did that.
But don't forget the back line, notably Sami Hyypiä and Dietmar Hamann. The latter, well, he joined Natalie Sawyer and Ali McCoist on TalkSport's Sports Breakfast Show to pay his respects.
I never thought I'd feel the way I would feel when I got the news yesterday morning. And what Danny just alluded to, he was just a very loving and caring man. And I think what he, or the club I found when I joined in 99, you know, I think these days we jump to the conclusion that it's a family club very prematurely, but he really ran the family, the club like a family. He treated every member of staff, whether it was the girls in the kitchen, the kit men, the players, the physios, he treated everybody like one of his own, and he created something there which I think is unique. And I think that was part of our success, that he reminded us every single day to treat people like we want to be treated, and he was just the man he was.
So what did he do for you then, personally, did he?
Well, first of all, he was the man who gave me the opportunity to join Liverpool in 1999 from Newcastle. Mm. There was a bit of a standoff about the transfer fee, so it took a bit longer than expected. But he called me every other day saying, you will be a Liverpool player, we find a solution, we won't let you down. I made it clear, I want you, and whatever it takes, we're gonna agree a fee with Newcastle. So that was very reassuring, because sometimes these things, if they do fall through, put you in a bit of an awkward position, because I had made it clear I want to leave Newcastle. If I had to go back, it wouldn't have been the best situation. So it was very reassuring in that respect. And then I think he influenced us on all different levels. Obviously, we had some fantastic young English talent. I was 25 at the time when I joined. But I think in terms of developing as people, I think he gave us an awful lot, because he led by example, and he was just a very caring man. And I think he made it clear time and time again that generosity and looking after people will pay off at some stage. And then we went on a run, and he brought six or seven players in the summer of 99, all foreigners. So looking back now, I think he took a bit of a chance, but he probably had a vision that to bring out the best in his English talent, with Danny Murphy, with David Thompson, Mike Lowen, Jamie Carragher, Steven Gerrard, he probably thought that he needs a bit of continental influence. And, you know, I think he was visionary in that respect. We changed the training ground. He built the new Melwood. So I think you can't underestimate the impact he's had. He put Liverpool back on the map. And also, the year after he left, we won the European Cup. And if you look at the players who made a part on that night in Istanbul, I don't think that would have been possible without Gerrard.
I'm thinking and looking at some of the fantastic, wonderful names that have been involved in Liverpool Football Club over the years. You know, going back to Shankly, Bob Paisley, Joe Fearing and Kenny and boys like that. But clearly, Didi, the people of Liverpool, you know, would hold Gerrard in the same high esteem.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
This is a TalkSport tribute to Gerard Houllier. Tributes continue to flood in after his passing on Monday the 14th of December at the age of just 73. A man who had a profound effect on the French national side.
Made in hybrid, finished in Paris. The World Cup belongs to France after years of waiting and wondering.
Born on September the 3rd, 1947, he had hopes of becoming a professional footballer. After he transitioned into coaching, he found his big break at Lens, where he guided them from the second division to fourth place in Ligue 1, and as a result, a place in the UEFA Cup. Then in 1985, he was offered the job of coaching Paris Saint-Germain, where he brought the team their first league title a year later.
Champion de France, le Paris Saint-Germain!
And his talents didn't go unnoticed by the French FA, and in 1988, he was asked to become technical director, with the task of building the next generation. After a brief stint as manager of the national side, he remained technical director, where he focused on developing a group of players selected at the age of 12. Among them, Nicolas Anelka, David Trezeguet and Thierry Henry.
What a man, what a coach. And the youngsters that you see everywhere coming through all the time, playing in different leagues, coming through France, he had a lot to do with that. So it's a sad day for French football.
In 1997, he guided the under-18s to the European title, and when France won the Senior World Cup a year later, there were calls for an extra medal to be struck in recognition of Houllier's contribution. French football writer Philippe Auclair was a friend.
You can look at the list of honours, which is quite extraordinary. You should also remember that Gérard played a huge role in building the infrastructure which enabled France to win the World Cup in 98 and the Euro in 2020, but in 2000, excuse me. But I think that what everything that people come to is there is the humanity, the human dimension of this great manager. I think you can imagine I've been asked to contribute a few pieces, you know, here and there already today, which is not the easiest of things to do when you're talking about really a friend as much as anything else. But
yeah, sure.
I found that like everyone else, I was talking about the man before talking about, you know, the quintuple in 2001 or what he did with Lyon. And, what was coming back to my mind was rather gestures of generosity. It was more of the incredible openness he had towards others. It was his love for English football and the English football family. And, you know, I think that's a crucial thing, is that I think that, in a way, Gérard was much more appreciated in England than he was in France. And that he felt that his real home was not just in Liverpool, but also within the family of English football. And I kept thinking about, you know, all these, you know, functions he would attend. Nothing was, you know, obliging him to go there, but he would travel from anywhere to be with us, and to share his memories and to say hello to old friends, to meet new friends, because he had. Of all his wonderful gifts, his greatest gift was for friendship. He was an incredibly loyal man. He was an incredibly generous man. Sorry. And you know, what can I say? I mean,
yeah, obviously.
It's for us, it's you know, he meant so much as a man. He meant so much as a man. Mm-hmm. And to me, as to hundreds of others, I'm sure I've been coming across stories. You know, people have been telling stories, anecdotes about him on Twitter, how they met him by chance. He arranged tickets to go to Anfield, arranged tickets to go to the World Cup. And he would do that. He would do that all the time. He took pleasure in giving pleasure. I mean, what greater compliment? I mean, that can be paid to anybody. I mean, what a wonderful life he's had. And what a wonderful life also he has given to others. And it's in this capacity of giving and sharing, I think, that he managed to become this great coach as well. You just have to hear what his former players, and you've talked to Danny Murphy, I'm sure if you talk to Michael Owen, or if you talk to Jamie Carragher, or any others, perhaps not David Ginola even, but but you know, he had a gift for that. For, you know, he was hypersensitive. That's one of the things that I felt wonderful, is that somebody who was so hypersensitive, somebody who was so emotional in his approach of football, could bear being in that position of a football manager. You know, when you're constantly criticized, when you're constantly in the public eye and people are throwing things at you, and you have to deal with all the problems in the dressing room and with your boardroom and with the French national team. Remember, you know, he was the national team manager when France got beaten by Bulgaria that night, that famous night, dark night. And yet, what did he do after that? Others would have slammed the door, gone somewhere else. What did he do? He just went back to his office job at the French FA. He carried on as a national technical director to get the French national team ready for 1998. He took over the under-20s. He was already a French national champion at the time. And he basically got back to work and then became the Liverpool coach, and he had this second career. But that tells you, I think, something as well about the deep love he had for football. But especially for English football, I mean, it was consuming passion, really. He was really, it was his home, his family and his home.
Another voice to pay respect to Gerard Houllier is a member of the 100 Club and TalkSport favourite Darren Bent. Houllier managed Aston Villa after Martin O'Neill walked out of the club in 2010 and went on to oversee 40 matches that season, all before his ill health forced him to step down a year later.
He was a great guy. I mean, as you said, he was the one who took me away from Sunderland. And it's quite surprising, to be fair, because at the time, I think at Sunderland, we were fifth or sixth in the league, Villa were near the bottom. But obviously having that conversation with him, I think it was only for about 10 minutes. I mean, I knew there was interest, but then having a proper conversation with him, and then I spoke to him, I think, about 10 minutes before I did sign, then hearing, listening to his ideas and how he saw things and the way he kind of saw me fitting into his team. I mean, he was just a kind of special person. And I always remember him saying to me, like, he said it would be impossible for me not to score goals in this team. That's what he said to me. He said, like, with the players they had at the time, Stuart Downing's, Ashley Young, real creative players, he said, if you're in this team, you'll score goals, I have no doubts. And as I said, he just saw things and made me a better player, and I'll stand by it. Even though I may have scored more goals elsewhere, that period from January to the end of the season was probably the best football I played in my entire career in terms of the way I played and the goals I scored and things like that. So, real special person.
A real special person. And I know on social media you took to Twitter and wrote some lovely words, and right at the end of the tweet you said, he taught me to see things differently. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of on the pitch and just kind of not even positive outlay, but just like, just in terms of, rather than looking at, say, things negatively, first of all go positively. This is what you can do, this is what you can do, this is what you can achieve, rather than things like, oh, I wonder if I can do that, am I good enough to do that. He just said, but don't think that. When you go out there, it's like, I put it, my debut for Aston Villa was against Manchester City, and I've gone there, record fee, people talking about it, and I'm really, really nervous. And I'm thinking, well, you, as a centre forward, you look at the fixture list and you go, oh, I wonder when my first goal's going to come, because I think we had City and we had some top teams coming up. So you think, if I don't score on the first goal, the first game, they've spent a lot of money on me, it's not going to go well. So you start thinking, oh, when's the first one coming? I remember him just walking to kind of the back of the bus and sitting next to me and just saying, listen, relax, it doesn't really matter. If you don't score today, doesn't matter. Like, I brought you to play at this football club. It doesn't matter if you don't score today. No big deal. Go again next week. It doesn't happen next week. We just keep going. And it just, that them few simple words, I went, okay. And obviously on my debut, I managed to score and we win 1-0. But I think without that kind of speech and that his positive outlook on things, the game could have turned out very differently.
Dan, I'm just going to say, mate, that's, Natalie and I were talking about it earlier on, it's a one overriding thing that I'm getting for everybody, yourself, and I was reading, as I said yesterday, Jamie, Stevie, Gerard, Robin, all the boys that played under him. The one overriding thing, the human touch from the man, you know what I mean? He clearly was an excellent coach and a very good manager, but just his interaction with individuals seems to have been top class.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was superb. I mean, after I'd signed for Aston Villa, and he'd see me all the time. As I said, there were times after games he'd invite my parents into his office and talk to them, and he knew them by name if I saw him at training. Like, how's your mum, how's your dad, things like that. It was, I think he took the time not to just know players on the pitch but off the pitch as well. And for me, it was a shame I only got to work with him for such a short space of time, because as I said, I felt like if I'd have stayed with him maybe a little bit longer and he'd have stayed there, I think my game could have gone to another level.
I
do believe I could have gone to another level, because it was just so different. Even in training, he'd say to me, just try this a little bit and it'd make a massive difference about my positioning on the pitch, or the way I finished a strike off if I stood in this position here. And as I said, it's a real shame that we've lost him. But listen, he for me, he was one of the very best.
We've talked about it already with a few people today. Dominic King from the Mail, Didi Haman as well. And I asked Didi Haman, it's only now that we sort of start hearing all these wonderful stories about what is just a gentleman that we've lost from the game. But I asked him about, is he perhaps one of the most underrated managers that we've seen here in the Premier League?
I would probably go along with that. I mean, I'm sure if he was to speak to Liverpool fans, obviously he was integral in Liverpool winning them trophies. So I think Liverpool would always appreciate him and say, no, he's been one of the very best in our history. But potentially, out of that, you'd have to say probably people don't not even remember him as much, but he doesn't really get the plaudits that he deserves. And to be fair, I don't even think when he was at Aston Villa he probably got the respect that he deserved either, because he talk about a top manager who's been at the very, very highest of the game, and I don't think potentially a lot of the Villa fans took to him. I think even some of the players didn't really take to him, but I think that comes down to a kind of a mentality. a mentality thing, but for me personally, on my level, he was absolutely superb, and as I said, I can't thank him enough for what he did for me in that short space of time.
This is a TalkSport tribute to Gerard Houllier. Tributes continue to flood in after his passing on Monday the 14th of December at the age of just 73, including one from a Liverpool legend and now Rangers manager Steven Gerrard, who has credited Houllier as the man who shaped him as a footballer and a person.
This is not a guy who just focused solely on football and what you gave to him in terms of the relationship player to manager. This was someone who wanted to change me as a human being to become an elite professional. I'll never forget that.
In October 2003, it was Houllier who appointed Gerrard as Liverpool's new captain. All this, remember, when the former midfielder was just 23. A bold move from the Frenchman, and Danny Murphy puts Liverpool's success down to the discipline Houllier instilled.
Ill-discipline wasn't in our repertoire as players. We won trophies because of our discipline, not our talent. We had some great players, but we beat teams better than us because of the discipline he created and the belief he created. He was a wonderful man. He'd just be missed, and he'd be missed by me.
Alex Miller, who worked at Liverpool with Houllier as the club's director of scouting, saw that he understood the city.
Well, he was a school teacher. That's why he was in Liverpool. He worked in Liverpool previously. So he knew the type of person that a Liverpoolian is. People from Liverpool are very similar to different areas in the UK that... They like to see someone working hard and getting their rewards, and they'll support them all the way. And that's the Liverpool support. If you work hard for the team, that was a major thing in my time at Liverpool. Okay, we were successful, very successful. But they never really gave abuse to the team. No matter if we lost, I've seen many a day we'd lose and you go out in the pitch maybe 20 minutes later to do your warm down because the police wouldn't allow it right after the game. And the fans were kept in, as you know, in stadiums, and they would give you applause, and you've just lost. And that was the sort of Liverpool supporter. That was even in Europe was the same. A few times we lost in Europe away from home. And you're going round the pitch 25 minutes after the game, 30 minutes after the game to do your warm down because you've got a fixture at the weekend again. And they gave the players applause.
Another trophy is going to Anfield, to Liverpool Football Club, to the League Cup, to the FA Cup, to the UEFA Cup, to the Charity Shield, is now added the European Super Cup.
Another familiar name to pay respect to Gerard Houllier on TalkSport is Phil Thompson, who worked as his assistant manager in his 6 years at the club. Thompson, who had captained Liverpool to success in the 70s and 80s, was brought back to his boyhood club by the Frenchman. Here he is speaking to Jim White and Simon Jordan.
It was very difficult, Jim, especially in the morning and people trying to get in touch, because it was like a member of the family dying. And it was such a shock because I didn't realise he'd gone in and he was having an operation in Paris. So to get the news as it did yesterday morning about 9:45 was just a massive shock, because we had such a wonderful relationship. Besides obviously being sort of coaches, if you want, at the same time, it was just we had such a wonderful thing. And all day yesterday with my sons and the wife, we were talking about all the good times and how great it was. And even as we'd finished and in the last few years, he'd see my sons when he'd come to Anfield and they'd grown up, got a lot bigger. And he knew them, recognised them, and he'd give them a kiss on either side of the cheek, which they felt embarrassing, but it was his affectionate way of, as you would know, his affectionate way of greeting everybody.
Yes, indeed. We were in, Simon and I were on yesterday, Phil, you would know, with Danny Murphy. Danny had a very difficult time yesterday and composed himself and spoke magnificently about Gerard. Now, you assisted Gerard at the club. When you look back at it, probably very few people know Gerard Houllier better than you did, Phil. What were his qualities?
Well, his qualities were wonderful, and it's been well documented in, you know, on the TV and the papers. Warm, caring, but he could be fierce as well with it. He didn't shirk making big judgments. And Simon will know that as a manager, sometimes you have to make them. And as players, you call the managers everything because, oh, you can't do that to me, this, that. But as you get older, you will realise why big decisions had to be made, and you go into management yourself and you do it. So he never shirked an issue, but he had that wonderful, warm human touch. And you felt it coming out of Carragher's words, even Gerrard's words, Danny's words, as players, and how you felt.
Yes,
and
yes.
Carragher and Stephen always said that Rafa probably just about edged it as a coach or as a man-manager. Julier was a million miles apart from him. He was top class, took care of them and the families. And I think that was the side of them which really sort of got to people why they really loved them.
Do you know what? I think that's such a good point that Phil is making, Simon.
Yeah.
And I think he's the kind of guy that you would love to have worked with, I think, Julier.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I described him yesterday as very elegant. And I remember when we played you, Phil, in 2001 in the Cup semi-final. And I described an instance when Gerrard greeted all our players when they came in to wish them luck in the game because we'd beaten you the first leg and obviously you took us to the cleaners in the second. But also, Danny described the rebuilding of Liverpool and the re-energising and the recalibrating of Liverpool as a power and the genesis of that being with Gerrard and yourselves. Do you equate that and what Liverpool are now in part were being built underneath the re-emphasising of Liverpool back as a power under Gerrard and yourself and then moving on to Benitez winning the Champions League and so on and so forth. Do you recognise that and what Danny's saying?
Yeah, very much so, because I can, and we came together just after the Spice Boys era, and that was still there, very, very sort of prominent. And that had to be changed, and I realised my role in it was to sort of shake things up a little bit. But Gerrard had to do it in a very delicate way. It still couldn't live with the likes of what we'd done before, eight asides. For like 40 minutes, 50 minutes every day. That's the way it was. The club had to change. The club had been in the doldrums for too long and it had to change. And we couldn't keep on going that way. That worked before. But the new generation needed better coaching, better teaching. And Julier was the man to bring that, you know, and he'd had that history behind him of what he did for Clairefontaine in France. So this guy had come at the right time. So it was difficult for some players to actually change. And like Wenger, what Wenger did for Arsenal, Julier was moving Liverpool forward. Mm. And it was difficult. And we did, and we were successful, and we did great. I still think there was just a few of those Liverpool fans who never really give him. Because, as you know with managers, Simon, the wheels do come off in the end.
Yep.
And that happens. And it happened for Rafa Benitez. But I think for Benitez to win the Champions League in 2005 with, I think it was nine players that we'd had,
mm-hmm.
I think people had looked at Rafa in a different light to Gerrard because he'd won the big one in 2005. And it meant our ones, some people were looking at it as a bit meaningless, but it was a year that people should never forget.
On Monday the 14th of December 2020, football said goodbye to a great of the game, Liverpool's treble-winning manager, Gerard Houllier. But as you've heard, the Frenchman's impact on the game stretches much further. Here's another example from sports writer Martin Samuel.
As a person, he's a lovely guy. The heart problem that he had was to do with his aorta. And I was interviewing him once. We were sitting in his office at Anfield, and I happened to mention that my dad had a similar thing. He had an aortic valve replacement, and so we were talking about this, and we were talking about the recovery of it and everything. Every single time he saw me, from that day onwards, the first thing he asked was, "How's your dad? How's he getting on? Is he, you know, still with us and everything?" He never ever forgot it. And it didn't matter if you were at a major international tournament, bumped into each other at the airport, bumped into each other in a restaurant or anything like that. It's always the first thing he asked. Never about football. Never about the match he'd just seen or whatever. He was a lovely guy.
Matt, you're a big Liverpool fan, as I understand it. Good morning to you. This is sad news, Matt. How will you remember Gerard Houllier?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Matt.
I'm absolutely devastated. he was such a gentleman, and I even said before that even though Benitez gave me a massive memory in 2005, that Gerard Houllier was a more likeable person than Benitez. And in 2001, his my best memories since becoming a Liverpool fan, and
take your time, Matt.
Do you know what I'm absolutely devastated. Absolutely devastated hearing this news this morning.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.